from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Luis Robert Jr. hitting to a double play his first time off. This time, he's going to drive in the second run of the game. It's now a 5-2 game, four straight hits for the Sox here.
Still guys nobody fighting, having good at bats. You know, we've been playing good defense. You know, we're running the bases good. Like, you know, we want to see wins. You know, I think, but we want to also just see these guys competing and be in every game. And guys are doing that. You know, we're still going to make mistakes, and we're still, you know, got some of these young guys are still learning. But we're not playing our best ball, but we're trying to get to that point where we're playing our best ball.
That's Grady Sizemore talking about his ball club. Luis Robert Jr. has 9 hits in his last 5 games. You could zoom it out to the last 8 games. Got 14 hits in his last 8 games. He's alive. He's alive. The batting average, which had dipped to .198, is back up towards .225. The OPS has hit .700. I'm just glad that he seems to be playing with some passion. And by that, I mean a lack of apathy. Because that is a superstar caliber dude who too often has looked like he just hasn't cared, which has been an issue for other players along the way, and I'd hate to think that he is dying on the vine as well. The White Sox season, long dead, but we're just watching the decay and wondering just how bad it can get. Where are we? What's happening here? What's been happening recently? Let's talk to somebody who's been paying attention. Look, I've been paying attention too, but not as much as our next guest, Ryan McGuffey, who joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Guff from the White Sox Talk podcast. Thank you for watching the games for others out there in the listening audience who perhaps have not. Guff, how are you, sir?
My man, good to be with you as always. I thought we were talking about Caleb Williams. No, I thought that's why I was coming on.
At 2 weeks.
We've got two more of these shows.
Okay. Two more of these shows.
All right.
And then that's it. I mean, I may get a mandate to squeeze some in next week. You never know. But look,
what would Caleb's OPS be currently on the White Sox?
Dude, I was at Wrigley last weekend, and I'm walking up towards the press box, and there's like Keith and a bunch of other ushers at press box levels saying, yeah, did you see that throw on the left side to Rome Odunze?
No, unaware.
Had not seen it. But yeah, man, it's like all conversational roads lead to Caleb Williams. But that's not why I called, Ryan. It's not
I'm diverting. I'm trying to pivot away. Luis Robert, he's back.
Okay. I mean, it's like, God, the poison that has been evident in the bloodstream for Eloy Jimenez and Yoan Moncada, I don't want to believe that it's there for Luis Robert. I don't want to believe that it's there for him. He's too good. He's too talented. There's too much upside. So I find myself relieved to see some production in recent days.
Yeah. I'm maybe a little bit more pessimistic on it. But, yeah, I mean, certainly it's good to see, you know, what'd you say, 14 hits in 8 games?
Yep.
I mean, if you take the 30,000-foot view and look at the 30 games in the second half and take a hard look at that slash line of 54 strikeouts and 4 walks and an OPS of .561, that doesn't feel that good.
No.
You said that you don't want him to have the poison. I still question if he was part of the poison. I don't know. But, yes, like, let's be honest. Luis Robert is the one guy, at least from the entire group, that showed at least a full season of what he's capable of last year, where he could be in, you know, a top 10, top 15 MVP type guy.
Mm-hmm.
If and when this team ever were to come out of it, or if you're acquiring Luis Robert to be a championship caliber team, we've certainly seen the guys that have been traded feed off and get that like second wind and rebirth. You know, if you want to include Aloy, I know I'm still getting people in Baltimore coming at me nearly every day, which is fun. I guess it's warranted, but it's been a lot quieter of late because, you know, he's finally becoming Aloy, and his OPS in Baltimore is 705, and he's 14 or 12 singles and 16 hits and no homers. So congrats, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we can see a good month plus down the stretch from Luis. Like, if we're going to have to sit here now, that's what we're doing, right? We're trying to figure out, what are we watching the last 35 games or whatever?
Yeah.
I would like to see Luis Robert go home with a solid month of September where either you're showcasing him or you're bringing him back. And for whatever it is, that he goes into the offseason with all of the poison around him gone and saying, here, it's your pedestal, dude. There's no one else beside you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Who are you? We need to know. You need to know. And the rest of baseball needs to know.
Talking to Ryan McGuffey from the White Sox Talk podcast here on Hit and Run. It's Matt Spiegel there with you on 670 The Score. All right. So they lost 21 in a row, right? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And then they won a game. And since then, they've been much better. They're 3-11 since the 21 game losing streak was snapped. Are they? What are you seeing under Grady Sizemore? I'm reading some nice stories about the team enjoying him. I saw the fact that they're wearing T-shirts with pictures of him as an active player on the T-shirts, which is kind of cool. This is a guy they can relate to, and boy, he was a stud as a player. What are you seeing in terms of him and the way this this team is responding or at least communicating with him?
The shirts on Friday, like a lot of people, you know, it had kind of a mixed bag, but it certainly stood out to me because it was very clearly a message to public message that we respect this guy and this is a guy that we're going to play for. The talent obviously hasn't changed. I mean, the lineup is horrifically bad. Offensively, I'm not sure we'll see a worse team, hopefully, in this city ever again. But they are doing the little things better. I wouldn't say they're doing them right, but they are doing things better. Like, there's a couple of things. I just wonder what the hell was going on. Like, did Pedro Grifol have that much say whether or not Dominic Fletcher could play right field every day? Because that's been a nice – I wanted to see Dominic Fletcher from opening day on and just see at least who he is. And if he's a 205 hitting right fielder, but he plays a superb defense, that's better than anything else you've had out there the last 3 or 4 years. But – there's been more consistency, I think, with Grady Sizemore. I think he's riding Gavin Sheets. You know, Gavin Sheets was getting benched for 2 weeks at times with Grifol, and I'm like, what's go-? And then all of a sudden he's hitting three again. It just, there was all these kind of confusing messages daily almost with Pedro, and I think there's just more the message is a little bit more clear. Despite the results, I mean, look, they're going to still go down as probably the worst team in history. Certainly not Grady Sizemore's fault, but it has been. Like, I go back to that Cubs game, his first game when the Cubs were down or the Cubs were up 7-0.
Yeah.
In that crosstown game on Friday night, and the White Sox, you know, obviously they had the winning run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth. The passion from Sizemore that he was showing when the Sox were starting that comeback. And they kept cutting to the camera and seeing him jacked up and yelling at the guy in the on-deck circle. And I'm like, dude, we haven't seen that since probably Ricky Renteria. And to have some kind of, like, belief in your guys, I know baseball's not like a rah-rah sport. I know it's not football where people like the screaming and the yelling and stuff like that. But I do think in 162 games, I think it's okay to have a stretch where maybe you're showing a little bit of excitement, some empathy, some compassion along the way. And I think the players, to me, at least in the few I've talked to, and then just seeing the message, I think that's the that's what's been apparent in the 2 weeks plus of Grady Sizemore.
Well, you know, look, you have to have that. You have to have that in the mix when possible. More than anything, you just got to be like a real person and just only do that. Only do that when it's actually genuine, and do the other stuff when it wasn't. And we certainly questioned that about the other guy. I, you know, there was a moment early on, and maybe it's still there. Can you squint and see a real good starting rotation at the very least for the White Sox future if they do keep Garrett Crochet? You know, Drew Thorpe just threw from 60 feet. I think it was yesterday. So hopefully that's not a massive arm injury, but we're not going to know for a little while. Noah Schultz will probably get here. Like, can you squint and see at least that as an example of future consistency?
1,000%. I can see that without Garrett Crochet. I mean, I think there's been enough positive outcomes of several guys. And Drew Thorpe certainly is kind of the, I don't want to say dark cloud, but it's a cloud, right? Until we know more. Thorpe, I mean, Jonathan Cannon has been a dude most of the year. I mean, his ability to go six innings every time out, pretty much, I think eight of his last nine starts or something like that. Like, that's a thing. You know, he kind of just came up. He just looks comfortable on the mound. There's been hints of Kai Bush, right? Like, last night was certainly not one of them. But in Houston, that was good.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he can find the strikes, he's had definitely command issues. But these guys are making jumps from Double-A straight to the major leagues, and they're kind of learning together. I do like that. I like that they're feeding off of each other at the major league level. Why not develop them here? If you're going to keep Ethan Katz around, like, let him get a hold of these guys in meaningful baseball games so you know what you have. If Crochet is a part of your future, I'd be a little surprised to think if he wasn't moved in the offseason. And then you mentioned Schultz. The White Sox have the two best left-handed pitching prospects in baseball. Hagen Smith, that stuff last night and his debut – I tweeted. I said, this looks effortless. And it's just it's buzzing past guys. So I can take that approach to the 2025 and beyond White Sox, that I do think that there's something there in the pitching staff with or without Garrett Crochet. The question that I will continue to ask, though, is where are the bats coming from?
Yeah.
Because the cupboard's bare. You know, Edgar Caro's had a really good year, but kind of relying on your catcher to be your best bats. You know, we don't see much of that, as you know. There's very few catchers that come up and are 330 homer guys. I mean, they have such, I mean, you look at that offense. I was staring at it before I came on, because sometimes I look at the standings and I don't believe them, even though I've watched it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I look at the stats and I just stare at where the White Sox are. I mean, I'm wondering if Aaron Judge, and right now, the top three OPS players in baseball. Now, I'm talking about the best players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at, like, Judge, Soto, and Bobby Witt Jr., they have four more home runs than the entire White Sox. That's insane. I know that those guys are – we're talking about 60-homer, 50-homer guys. But the fact that three players – the White Sox have 106 home runs.
Yeah.
When did they – and this has been a problem for 4 years. It's just – they have no power. And I just don't know – I know you asked about the pitching, and I agree, but I just, the offense to me is such a concern, and that's why I'm like wondering what's the true next window that opens, because the offense is so broken and there's so much that needs to be done to change it. The pitching's there. I think the pitching is there in 2 years to say, hey,
mm-hmm.
like, they can contend with this, but you can't contend with what you got out there on the nine. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because you do see the pitching, and they're going to have to trade it. They're going to have to trade the pitching,
yep,
to get some of the hitting. But it's hard to feel good about the talent evaluation in the pro scouting department after what we just saw at the deadline. And Miguel, yep, Vargas, in his 17 games here, has 5 hits in 68 plate appearances. It's a batting average of under 100 right now for Miguel Vargas in his 17 games here. And that's the jewel of the three big leaguers that got sent away in that three-team trade. The jewel is supposed to be Vargas. And sometimes these blocked Dodgers are Michael Bush, and sometimes they're Miguel Vargas so far. And that's a little scary. So That's the problem is that I don't trust anybody to scout and develop offensive players within this brain trust. I feel real good about Brian Bannister. I feel good about Brian Bannister, and I feel okay about Ethan Katz in terms of like those guys working together and kind of seeing through on a plan for a pitcher in the system and then making sure that plan is followed through on the big league level, that kind of synergy. I don't get the sense that anything like that exists on the offensive perspective at this point.
I mean, isn't that how we got here? Because of failed development on especially on the offensive end of all these guys?
Yes.
I mean, and I know that there's been a clean house, a kind of clean house type situation at 35th and Shields, but until it's fixed, until we see otherwise, I think everyone should have doubt because it's been there for decade plus. And with Vargas, the one thing I wonder with Vargas is when he came here, the big negative was, well, he's getting beat up by right-handed pitching and they're jamming him inside and he's got to hitch his swing and all this. So I'm wondering if it's a mechanical thing with him and they're trying to change it on the fly. And as you know, with hitters, first of all, he's coming to a new team in the middle of a historic season.
Yep.
And he has a mechanical flaw. Like, good luck. I mean, that's just like the perfect mixed bag of mess. And that usually in the off season is when you really want to tinker and switch that. But look, at the same time, the results are the results. We can only go off of what we see. And it's not been really great with Vargas, and certainly when you're seeing what's going on. By the way, you're welcome for the Michael Kopech prediction that I made a couple months ago sitting next to you.
Yes, you did. And you know, and it's amazing because Kopech has been so good with the Dodgers. And yeah. I still have my doubts about him in a big moment come playoff time. Because I fear that he'll revert back to, like, let me just throw it as hard as I possibly can. And, oh, it's straight. Oh, that's too bad. They knew that I was going to do that, and they just beat the bejesus out of me. But clearly what they're doing is working. And a lot of times, you know, people go to new places, and they believe smart people and smart teammates in a new place. And that's where the improvement can come, right?
Well, also, what is your role, right? Like, hi, Michael. Welcome to the Dodgers. There's a lot of successful guys around here. There's a lot of successful coaching and scouting around here. You're pitching the seventh.
Yeah.
Thank you. End of story. You're not pitching two innings. You're not pitching the eighth. I know he's got a couple of saves, but they just let him kind of come. I mean, did you see his debut? His debut, I think he pitched in like a 9-2 game.
Yeah.
You know, perfect situation. Hey, no expectation, plug and play. Just go do your thing. Struck out the side. 9-2, not high leverage. It's funny how like those little things can matter when communication is key. And, you know, going back to the development part, it's definitely a concern. You know, like Garrett Crochet, if you trade him, it has to be right. There's like, you have to absolutely nail it. He might be the last straw you have, the last golden jewel to acquire some kind of big bat of the future.
Yeah.
Certainly there's going to be a lot more teams interested in him. You're going to have a bigger pool to pick from in the offseason. And who is it? You know, who is the, like, I'm curious to see what Baltimore does in the playoffs. Like they to me still are the team that I'm like, if they go one and done again, if they're out in four or five games and they're early in the DS, if they're out, isn't it that you get 200 wins in two seasons and you got nothing to show for it? You got Corbin Burnes, who's going to hit the free agent pool. Are you going to spend $250 million on Corbin Burnes in Baltimore? So Baltimore always, to me, has been this perfect match for the White Sox, and I get why they want to hold on to their players. But at some point, like you mentioned blocked Dodgers, there's blocked Orioles right now.
Oh, yes.
You know, Santander's, he's not going to get he'll be a free agent because there's so much. Like every time you open a cabinet in Baltimore, there's like five guys falling out of it ready to get to the big league. So that, to me – Until I see otherwise, there's certainly enough coveted bats over there that line up for a Garrett Crochet trade to me in the offseason. And that's why like I'm keeping my eye on Baltimore in the postseason, because if they win it all, fine, different story. But if they get knocked out again because pitching, I mean, if I'm the owner there, if I'm management there, I'm going, what's the one missing thing here? Well, we have to have more Corbin Burns.
Yep, and there's a few teams. The Dodgers, too, with every one of their pitchers getting hurt, just constantly. Glasnow on the injured list now. They're still waiting for Yamamoto. Dustin May done for the year again. And they bring up, you know, Ryan and force him to the big leagues, and then he blows out his arm. It's just... So there will be teams, that's for sure. Guff, you're the best. Thanks so much for joining us on a Sunday morning. Thanks for your friendship and your support of this show all year long. And we'll call you in 2 weeks to talk about Gerald Everett and his fit in the Bears offense.
Spiegs, you know, I think the world of you, my man, and I think it's awesome that Chicago gets this show. So whether or not our baseball teams give you the effort on the other end, it's a show that I love, and everybody else does too. So you're the man.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Thank you. That's Ryan McGuffey right there. It's amazing. Yes, he's right now about Kopech. He's right, but I don't trust it. I don't trust it for all of the reasons we have seen it blow up from time to time. A little bit more on the White Sox when we come back. 312-644-6767 if you want to hop in. You'll hear from Chris Getz, who was on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Hall yesterday. And I need to alert you to a terrific article from this past week that zooms out and puts the perspective in the right place on that organization. Team of the Moment later this hour as well. Sahat of Sharm at the top of the 11 o'clock hour right here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Chris, I mean, obviously I've known Chris Getz for a long time. It's a relationship that we both trust each other. Chris wants to get this organization right, and he's investing so much into the process of building an organization that you don't all get to see every day. That's in scouting, that's in development, that's in our Latin operations. He's taking the broad spectrum of being a general manager, investing in the totality of the organization. He is fully invested in the draft. He's been a tremendous leader, taking the job, putting us all departments in the right direction. You may not see the output at the major league level right now. He's investing in all departments with his time, effort, and energy to build this place from the ground up.
That's Mike Shirley talking about Chris Getz. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run. James Fox, our old pal Jim in Lockport, a fine White Sox writer and contributor in his own right, listening to the show, feels better about the White Sox if the manager comes from the outside, as they're saying, and if they hire a new director of international scouting, and they hire a Brian Bannister equivalent on the hitting side, James will feel much better. I understand, James, and it's kind of what you always end up hoping for, is that they hire enough people underneath the head of baseball to feel good about, that they bring in enough people underneath, because the guy at the top is hard to feel good about. When Chris Getz was in charge of your development for 7 years and was a big part of your failed rebuild the first time, and then is given the opportunity with no interviews of outside people, named before the end of the season, and it feels like named because Reinsdorf is fond of him, it feels very, very similar. It's hard to zoom out and feel that sense of confidence. Let's listen to Chris Getz from yesterday, though, on Inside the Clubhouse with our Bruce Levine and David Haw, talking about the difficulties of trading big-time pitchers like Garrett Crochet or Dylan Cease before him.
you know, trading someone like a Garrett Crochet or Louis Robert or Dylan Cease, those are not easy decisions because they're such, you know, quality major league players that can help you win. However, when you're you know, in a stage that we're in right now, and you know, you've got to think about not just next year, but the following year and the following year, and where we want to go. You know, how, you know, we want to be we want to win the division. We want to make a climb towards a World Series run. So, you know, with some of these individuals and where they are contractually, how much control do they have, and what's their value on the marketplace? There's a handful of factors that go into this. You know, we've got our threshold, our marker of what we believe the proper value is in return. It obviously was not met at the deadline, but you know, we'll continue to have those conversations. You know, Garrett's got, you know, two more years of control after this season. You know, he's a guy that, you know, we would love to have, you know, in a White Sox uniform for years to come. But, you know, there's a lot that goes into that decision. And so, you know, we're going to go into this offseason, take a look at what our needs are based on, you know, what's coming in our farm system, what's the state of our major league club, and then make sound decisions from there.
Look, I was against trading Garrett Crochet for the first several months of the season. I know that. Hell, Ron on the South Side tried to convince me, and he'll probably laugh at me in a few moments when we take his call. I get it. I talked to somebody in baseball, about 3 weeks ago, who said that most people around the game were like, why aren't the White Sox trading Crochet now? And that was like May. The thought was, go ahead, deal him. And then they waited and they tried to extract the most and it didn't work. And now they're probably looking at trading him in this offseason and they're hoping to extract the most. And who knows? So baseball thinks I was wrong. These decisions are hard. And sometimes they're 60-40, whatever. But baseball telling me I was wrong, I don't like it. I don't like when Ron from the South Side is correct. Anyway, here is a little more from Chris Getz on Garrett Crochet and the workload plans for 2025, if he's
here.
We're
coming from a place where he has not pitched, you know, the last couple years, and he hasn't started since, you know, primarily his high school days. And so, you know, we've got him in the big league, starting for the first time at the major league level. You know, we're trying to handle this with the best care we can, with the best intention for him, for his long-term health, and obviously to be a productive pitcher for the Chicago White Sox. So, you know, we've reached a point now where, you know, we want to be as consistent as we can, but also know that we're on the backside of the season here. We want to be responsible. Now, the feedback loops that we get, I mean, you know, the pitch quality, the biomechanics of his delivery, his, you know, vocal feedback that he's giving our trainers and coaches. So those are all factors. He does feel good. His pitch quality is strong. His mechanics have been holding. The strength testing in between starts has been solid. But we also know that, you know, we're not fighting for a division this year. And, you know, Garrett is doing something that has been spectacular and one of the best stories in baseball this season. We don't want to push this. We've already reached an inning amount in which I think everyone feels pretty comfortable that next season he can go in and have a full starter workload and can continue to build off of his career.
That's Chris Getz on Garrett Crochet from yesterday on Inside the Clubhouse. Okay, Ron, go ahead. Tell me they should have, whatever. Tell me they should have traded him. Yeah,
hey,
go ahead.
Yeah. And guess what?
What?
How long me and you've been talking, not even on this station. I've become an old man. I'm retired. Look, I've been talking to you that long, and I always enjoy. And in 2024, I convinced me to come around.
So, you got to win.
Okay,
you got to win. Put it up. Put it up on the board.
All these years. Yeah. Okay, real quick. I agree 100% with Gus, because and you know, I just thought that was the perfect trade between with Baldwin and Sock. And I gave the same reason.
Yeah.
Yep, that they're going to lose Corbin Burns. And they had the process. But, you know, things don't always work out that way. But two other quick points, and I agree with him also. I hope that Luis Robert continues to improve speak. So they can trade it, man. Because again, this team, man, is so far behind that it's going to be a couple of years. So we don't know where he will be. But lastly, Speaks, what happened? They have no position player. What happened to Byron Ramos? He came up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was decent. Oscar Colas, he can't play. I was hoping maybe we might see Colson Montgomery come. But at this point, it doesn't even matter.
He's having a terrible minor league year, Colson Montgomery. You know?
I don't ever recall when the major league talent and the minor league talent, as far as position play, has ever been this bad. In the past, when the White Sox were bad, and you may say, well, they have a few prospects, or when the team was looking pretty decent a couple of years, but they didn't have a good system. They have nothing as far as position players, Speak. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do team in a moment? I haven't heard you mention
it. It's coming.
Okay, I didn't hear you mention it. You know that's my favorite. So, okay, Speak. And look here real quick.
Yo.
I told Susan, the assistant producer,
yes,
get after it. We want to hear good things and for them to have a great school year. Thanks, Speaks. Have a good day.
Ron, you're the best. The assistant producer is it's a big year. It's a big year for the assistant producer. I'm looking at the Charlotte Knights stats, and there's just Colson Montgomery's hit .208 on the season in 105 games. The OPS is under 700. Brian Ramos has a 705 OPS in AAA. Colas, the best stats of that trio, at a 746 OPS in his 86 games. But every time he's been up at the big leagues, he has seemed dominated. So they've got a few guys like that, where Dominic Fletcher is a 722 OPS. Then he comes up to the big leagues and he seems dominated. You know, there's not a lot of position player talent at AAA. Is there some below at AA and below? Maybe, you hope, but you'll need to see it. And it's tough, man. They keep kind of grasping at some straws with some recycled veterans and other people's prospects. And it's a song we have sung for decades. Let me tell you that Dane Perry on CBSSports.com this week wrote a long-form piece about the White Sox organization and put the focus where it needs to be on Jerry Reinsdorf. And it's an incredible read. It's very completist. And if you have anybody in your life who really wants to know why things are the way they are, and some of the good that has happened in the past and some of the bad that has happened in the past and just the woeful nature of it now, you should read that. It's really intriguing, and I think maybe the best points that it makes are what Jerry has always said he learned theoretically from his experience as a young fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers that left town, and what he seems to have actually learned from that experience. What he says he learned, what he says he cares about, and what his actions would tell you that he actually learned, and what his actions would tell you he actually cares about. It's an incredible read. Recommend it very highly. This is Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Ben, I'm told you were giving some algebra help to the assistant producer off the air. Is that correct, sir?
But of course, every young astrophysicist has to have his math chops together. So 5 weeks left. 5 weeks left, 5.5 games back, in other words, 6 in the loss column. We solve for X. What is the average number of games that we need to gain on the Braves between now and the end of the year? He did it 1.2 games per week times 5 will be the 6 games that we will able to clinch the third place wild card.
Wow.
He did a great job.
That's amazing. Yeah, Sean Sears can confirm that the math was taking place off the air. So that's good.
Yes.
It takes a village to raise a child, Ben, so thank you for your assistance, sir.
Yes. Now, that math doesn't suck half as bad as the fact that there's 5 Sundays in September and we only get 1 hit and run. That math really sucks. But you know how that is.
Yes.
We have to complain, because if we don't complain, the squeaky wheel will never get any grease.
This is why we rage against the dying of the light. This is why we channel Dylan Thomas every August. Yes, sir.
I am. So look, you know, the math is rough, and your other callers have explained it. You know, Paul and Valpo, he's always on. The only thing I can pin my hopes on is like a 2007 Rockies run, where they just become indomitable. Did you ever read Asterix as a kid? The Indomitable Gauls.
Oh,
you know, they
yeah.
never lost.
I did.
Yeah. They're going to have to go on like some 12 game winning streak in order, because the math is not in their favor. But I will say this, man, you know, watching Shohei Ohtani, it's worth it to put all your chips in on a superstar. And I really hope that they're seeing this and they can go up to Juan Soto, because I think, you know, the Cubs, they do have star power. You know, I know Seiya is a hypothetical, but he shows, you know, in the past calendar year, he's been in the top 10. And I think PCA is a superstar in the making. It's not going to happen until next year, the following year. I think that's going to happen. But, you know, we're going to see what's going to happen. I love you, Speaks. Do the math, do the music, and please go Cubs, go. God damn it.
That's Ben in Queens. That's amazing. Yeah, man. Do the math and do the music. Tributosaurus becomes the Kinks tonight at the Backlot Bash in Skokie. We hit the stage around 6:30. If anyone is looking for something fun to do up towards the north side or towards the north burbs, or, you know, in that nexus in between, should be a very, very fun show. Come say hello if you go up that way. Ron mentioned Team of the Moment, and Ben mentioned Shohei Ohtani. Let's hit all of that and a bag of chips when we come back on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Suarez hits a fly ball, left field, and that one is gone into the monster seats for a grand slam. Well, as they like to say it here, he hit that thing wicked far. 9 grand slams by the Diamondbacks this year. That leads the major league.
High in the air to left field. That's a little cutter that just didn't cut. Stayed right there over the plate for Gino. And he knows what to do with mistake pitches.
The fact that we are working counts and waiting for the pitch that we want is what is motivating this group. And it showed up today. So, yeah, you give us an extra out, we're gonna take advantage of it.
It was the Team of the Moment, offering entertainment. The Team of the Moment, they caught our eyes.
So look, the Team of the Moment, sometimes you look in the very recent past. The Brewers are 8-2 in their last 10. Diamondbacks are 7-3. I mean, Kansas City is 7-3. So what separates the Diamondbacks? How about this? Since the 3rd of July, Arizona is 33-12. They're number one in baseball in wins since July 3rd. They're number one in baseball in OPS, on base percentage, slugging percentage, runs per game, total bases. The last 30 days, they're number one in batting average. They're number one in OBP. They're number one in OPS. And all of this is with Ketel Marte on the injured list. He's going to get top five MVP votes. And Christian Walker on the injured list. That's an absolute stud, a great defensive first baseman, and an unbelievably consistent power threat. And those two guys are hurt, and they're still the best offense in baseball. Corbin Carroll has refound himself. He's got a 970 OPS in August. He's reached base. It was 32 of 33 games, I believe it is. Jake McCarthy is on fire. Eugenio Suarez has a ton of RBIs since early July. This offense is rolling. They were the best team in the game in August and September last year and made the World Series as what, an 84-win team? And now they're first among the wild card participants and rolling again. They might be the best team in baseball. Their rotation goes six deep. They just demoted Jordan Montgomery to the bullpen because Ryne Nelson has been terrific. The weakness is that bullpen. Bottom third in ERA, bottom six in WHIP. They had kids emerge late last year. Remember Andrew Salfrank? They need to find some of those kids again. And it's just the way they play, the way they're managed, the way they go about it. Bryce Harper said this to Bob Nightingale about the Arizona Diamondbacks, quote, "They ain't scared. They go about it the right way. They play the game hard. They got guys that walk, guys that hit, good pitching. They're a good team." And remember, this is a season where nobody in baseball is on pace to win 100 games. And it might be for the first time since 1959, nobody wins 95 games. We have this crazy, weird, kind of egalitarian thing happening in the standings. And why not the Diamondbacks again? We'll see what happens to them in September and then in October when it really, really counts. But right now, that team is great. One thing that I mentioned, Jordan Montgomery. I don't know if anybody saw, but he went ahead and blistered his former agent, Scott Boras. He said this to the Boston Herald about his free agency, which held on so, so long and ended up with him signing a 1-1 with Arizona, $25 million for this year. He'll probably pick up the option to make $25 million for next year since he's been bad this year, a 6.44 ERA in the 19 starts. He says, quote, "Obviously, Boras kind of butchered my free agency, so I'm just trying to move on from the offseason and try to forget it." Whoo! I like seeing Scott Boras badmouthed. Makes me happy. Does something good for me. You know what else makes me happy? Even though he's on a different team, I don't care. We live in the time of Shohei Ohtani. He had 40 steals, had 39 home runs. And as the Dodgers were trailing by, or was it tied? Might have been tied. The bases were loaded, I know that, as Ohtani walked it off for number 40 the other night.
Any base hit'll do. First pitch. Center field. Series going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. 40-40. Walk-off grand slam. No way. What a moment. History. The sixth member of the 40-40 club makes the most dramatic entry into the club you could imagine with a walk-off grand slam.
I mean, outrageous. The fastest guy ever to get to 40-40 of the only six people, and he's got a chance to get to 50-50, which nobody's ever done. He started down that path last night.
Tying run at first. Go ahead, run at the plate. Ohtani reaches out, hooks a ball. He's so strong, it's still deep to the corner, and it's gone! Like only Shohei can, night after night. It's 41. How in the world did he get that ball out of here?
He's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, we've seen him hit some of the most prodigious home runs. The last two home runs have been as important as any, and they've made it each by a couple of feet.
2-for-4 last night, a homer, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs. And, you know, he almost did his 42nd last night. 100-mile-per-hour flyout to the warning track in the 10th. That would have tied it up. Dodgers lose to the Rays by the score of 9-8 last night. But it also comes on the same day that he threw off a mound for the first time since his elbow surgery last September. So, yeah, I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable, insane athlete that we are watching just compete continuously at the highest level. He might win MVP without pitching. In the National League. I mean, it's just as a DH, it's just freaking crazy. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge homered for 4 games in a row. He sits at 49.
Deep to left field. Jones back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. Number 49. Aaron Judge does it again. 3-0.
It's one of the great trivia questions of my youth was 5 guys that hit 50 homers in a season twice. And it was true for a long time. It was Willie Mays. It was Babe Ruth. It was Ralph Kiner, which nobody ever got. It was Mickey Mantle. And I think Jimmy Fox was the fifth. And then that list expanded in the Roids era to include Sosa and Bonds and a few others. I think A-Rod now has hit 50 twice. And Griffey, I think, hit 50 twice. And Judge is about to do it as well. Judge might get to 60 again. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And when you think about Aaron Judge at 49 homers right now and 119 RBIs, I mean, Frank Thomas never had 49 homers. Frank Thomas had four seasons where he exceeded 119 RBIs. It's not even September yet. It's just amazing. Aaron Judge is an absolute stud. You know who else is a stud? Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. He's a stud. It's the best Cubs beat writer going, in my opinion. We'll talk to Sahadev next. And you're going to hear from Dansby Swanson. You'll hear from the manager on Pete Crow Armstrong and a special snippet of the PBP as well before we get out of here for Cubs and Marlins right around noon. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run and 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sunday mornings on The Score.
Suarez hits a fly ball. Left field. And that one is gone into the monster seats for a grand slam.
Well, as they like to say it here, he hit that thing wicked fast. 9 grand slams by the Diamondbacks this year. That leads the major leagues.
Hit it high in the air to left field. That's a little cutter that just didn't cut. Stayed right there over the plate for Gino. And he knows what to do with mistake pitches.
The fact that we are working counts and waiting for the pitch that we want is what is motivating this group. And it showed up today. So, yeah, you give us an extra out, we're gonna take advantage of it.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
So, look, the team of the moment, sometimes you look in the very recent past. The Brewers are 8-2 in their last 10. Diamondbacks are 7-3. I mean, Kansas City is 7-3. So what separates the Diamondbacks? How about this? Since the 3rd of July, Arizona is 33-12. They're number one in baseball in wins since July 3rd. They're number one in baseball in OPS, on base percentage, slugging percentage, runs per game, total bases. The last 30 days, they're number one in batting average. They're number one in OBP. They're number one in OPS. And all of this is with Ketel Marte on the injured list. He's going to get top five MVP votes. And Christian Walker on the injured list. That's an absolute stud, a great defensive first baseman, and an unbelievably consistent power threat. And those two guys are hurt, and they're still the best offense in baseball. Corbin Carroll has refound himself. He's got a 970 OPS in August. He's reached base. It was 32 of 33 games, I believe it is. Jake McCarthy is on fire. Eugenio Suarez has a ton of RBIs since early July. This offense is rolling. They were the best team in the game in August and September last year and made the World Series as, what, an 84-win team? and now they're first among the wild card participants and rolling again. They might be the best team in baseball. Their rotation goes six deep. They just demoted Jordan Montgomery to the bullpen because Ryan Nelson has been terrific. The weakness is that bullpen. Bottom third in ERA, bottom six in WHIP. They had kids emerge late last year. Remember Andrew Salfranc? They need to find some of those kids again. And it's just the way they play, the way they're managed, the way they go about it. Bryce Harper said this to Bob Nightingale about the Arizona Diamondbacks. Quote, they ain't scared. They go about it the right way. They play the game hard. They got guys that walk, guys that hit, good pitching. They're a good team. And remember, this is a season where nobody in baseball is on pace to win 100 games. And it might be for the first time since 1959, nobody wins 95 games. We have this crazy, weird, kind of egalitarian thing happening in the standings. And why not the Diamondbacks again? We'll see what happens to them in September and then in October when it really, really counts. But right now, that team is great. One thing that I mentioned, Jordan Montgomery. I don't know if anybody saw, but he went ahead and blistered his former agent, Scott Boras. He said this to the Boston Herald about his free agency, which held on so, so long and ended up with him signing a 1-1 with Arizona, $25 million for this year. He'll probably pick up the option to make $25 million for next year since he's been bad this year, a 6.44 ERA in the 19 starts. He says, quote, obviously, Boras kind of butchered my free agency, so I'm just trying to move on from the offseason and try to forget it. Whoo! I like seeing Scott Boras badmouthed. Makes me happy. Does something good for me. You know what else makes me happy? Even though he's on a different team, I don't care. We live in the time of Shohei Ohtani. He had 40 steals, had 39 home runs. And as the Dodgers were trailing by, or was it tied? Might have been tied. The bases were loaded, I know that, as Ohtani walked it off for number 40 the other night.
Any base hit'll do. First pitch. Center field. Series going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. 40-40. Walk-off grand slam. No way. What a moment. History. The sixth member of the 40-40 club makes the most dramatic entry into the club you could imagine with a walk-off grand slam.
I mean, outrageous. The fastest guy ever to get to 40-40 of the only six people, and he's got a chance to get to 50-50, which nobody's ever done. He started down that path last night.
Tying run at first. Go ahead, run at the plate. Ohtani reaches out, hooks the ball. He's so strong, it's still deep to the corner, and it's gone! Like only Shohei can, night after night. It's 41. How in the world did he get that ball out of here?
He's Shohei Ohtani. I mean, we've seen him hit some of the most prodigious home runs. The last two home runs have been as important as any, and they've made it each by a couple of feet.
2-for-4 last night, a homer, 2 runs scored, 2 RBIs. And, you know, he almost did his 42nd last night. 100-mile-per-hour flyout to the warning track in the 10th. That would have tied it up. Dodgers lose to the Rays by the score of 9-8 last night. But it also comes on the same day that he threw off a mound for the first time since his elbow surgery last September. So, yeah, I mean, this is a remarkable, remarkable, insane athlete that we are watching just compete continuously at the highest level. He might win MVP without pitching. In the National League. I mean, it's just as a DH, it's just freaking crazy. Meanwhile, Aaron Judge homered for 4 games in a row. He sits at 49.
Deep to left field. Jones back. He's on the track. He's at the wall. See ya. Number 49. Aaron Judge does it again. 3-0.
It's one of the great trivia questions of my youth was five guys that hit 50 homers in a season twice. And it was true for a long time. It was Willie Mays. It was Babe Ruth. It was Ralph Kiner, which nobody ever got. It was Mickey Mantle. And I think Jimmy Fox was the fifth. And then that list expanded in the Royds era to include Sosa and Bonds and a few others. I think A-Rod now has hit 50 twice. And Griffey, I think, hit 50 twice. And Judge is about to do it as well. Judge might get to 60 again. Just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And when you think about Aaron Judge at 49 homers right now and 119 RBIs, I mean, Frank Thomas never had 49 homers. Frank Thomas had four seasons where he exceeded 119 RBIs. It's not even September yet. It's just amazing. Aaron Judge is an absolute stud. You know who else is a stud? Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. He's a stud. It's the best Cubs beat writer going, in my opinion. We'll talk to Sahadev next. And you're going to hear from Dansby Swanson. You'll hear from the manager on Pete Crow Armstrong and a special snippet of the PBP as well before we get out of here for Cubs and Marlins right around noon. It's Matt Spiegler with you on Hit and Run and 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.